This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
All right, we have made it to midweek, and it is February 11th. It's almost Valentine's Day. Oh, what?
Time is flying so fast. I'm kind of like, where did January go?
It's gone, just gone.
Blur.
Blur.
Well, part of it, I think, is that we're literally enjoying another spring day. You know, wake up with a frost, but once the sun comes out, it's like, I thought we were in winter.
I know. The same thing over here, and the sun came out, and then, the mustache yesterday was out doing some yard work and found a tick in February. So we got to get the hens, the girls, the chickens have got to be out. It's like, go, girls, go.
That's right. We need a good freeze to get rid of the bugs at this
point.
For
the stink bugs, the ticks, you know, anything. It's going to be a weird spring and summer. The mosquitoes, too. Mm-hmm. Well, it is Wednesday. And also, we're 11 days into our fifth annual food and clothing drive. If you go to kycan.com, click on there, up there on that tab, you can find out our sponsors who are amazing. There are barrels there. You can click on the addresses, click through and go visit them. This week we are highlighting Elite Buyers Northwest. Next week I'm going to be highlighting Shira's.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Shira's.
I'm sitting here going, you know, with this spring-like weather, it's probably a time to get started on that spring cleaning a little early, which means, you know, you should have those, you know, gently used clothes and some extra canned food that, you know, you're never going to get around to eating. You just got to realize it's time to go and donate these goodies.
Right. And it needs to be within, you know, the use by date, even though I know personally you can use things, you know, past that date. I made a whole meal one time with expired food and it was delicious. So whatever. That's just a suggestion.
You're only sick for a few weeks.
I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not an expert on that. I just know what I do. Anyway, so yeah, go visit kycan.com for that. All the information is out there for that. And that is going to the end of the month with where we only have 28 days in this month.
28 days of February.
Do you do anything for Valentine's Day? I don't.
I don't think we're going to do anything super spectacular. I've got to, you know, realize there's a whole bunch of kids around the house, so they'll, you know, enjoy a little candy and some probably homemade cards and all that fun stuff.
Too sweet. Well, speaking of things that, you know, kind of make you feel good and happy, and I have to say, and I have been pretty vocal, I'm not really a fan of hers, AG Pam Bondi, but damn, girl, been watching some clips on X. Holy, she is like laying it, taking no prisoners, taking no BS from the clowns on Capitol Hill.
Well, I think that's, you know, for all the challenges I have had with the way things have gone thus far in the Trump administration under Pam Bondi, the lack of accountability to people I believe should be held accountable, kind of misstatements on her part. The one thing is she is a bit of a pit bull and she's not willing to get pushed around. My big frustration with watching all of these hearings is she's put under oath.
Yeah.
She has the accountability of if she's caught lying, they can actually bring her up on perjury charges.
Right.
But this dais of people who have their own opinions, own agendas and own desires and want to set a narrative aren't held to that same standard where they can just come out and lie their tails off. If she pushes back, they can just talk over her and reclaim my time.
I'm reclaiming my time. Jerry Nadler, what a piece of work that blob is.
Well,
a staffer had to wake him up.
He needs to go back to the penguin exhibit in the New York Zoo, because I look at the guy and I just sit here and go, isn't that guy from Batman, you know, the penguin?
He needs a monocle and a cigarette holder. The Burgess Meredith version. The other one is Priyapal Washington.
Yes.
God, she's insufferable.
Well, I'm sitting here going, she's part of an extended family, you know, the squad. And where it's like you're low education, you're unintelligent, and all you can do is at the top of your lungs hiss and howl and say stupid things. I'm going, you're demanding an apology for Pam Bondi releasing the Epstein files now?
Yeah.
I thought you wanted them released. Oh, you want them released because you thought it would be only Trump throughout the whole thing. It would be Trump and Epstein, and that was it. And now you realize there's other people. Now
and
it's like,
Trump was the one who blew the whistle on it all. Oops.
Well,
narrative broken. These people are clowns. I have no respect for any of them. Jim Jordan, I was watching him. I mean, talk about wrestling cats or herding cats with all the, I'm reclaiming my, I mean, I don't have a dump button. What a garbage show.
Yes. Well, and, you know, I sit here and right before we went on the air, I actually saw this X post, and it was a video, and I think it was in the Minneapolis area, but it was a parade of geriatric sign holders with each one with a little statement on it that said, this is fascism. And as I'm watching this thing go, I'm in my head, I'm kind of going through, okay, here's your sign, and this is what the Democrats are doing, you know, from everything from no kings to this and that. And I'm going, so you're against Democrats? And I'm going, how? I would be not liked in a scenario like that, because I'd ask that question. So what do you think of this person doing this? Oh, well, that's okay with them, but it's Trump that I think is doing it.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. So it's been interesting to watch. It also can be hard to watch. It's kind of like watching Piers Anthony's show when he's got four people and they all yell over each other. After a while, my agita, my stress level, my cortisol levels go up and I just can't do it anymore. So I can take it in small doses. So I have liked seeing that. Again, still not. I wish all the Epstein stuff had been released last year when that stupid binder stunt happened.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have this for a year going into this now instead of where we have it now. But here we are.
Well,
so.
I just sit here and I go, and I don't know what the workings are behind the thing. And I'm sitting here going, the fact is this has been, you know, his suicide, and I'll use that in air quotes, was in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, in a year plus of Trump and 4 years of Biden and now a year plus of Trump again.
Yeah.
It took that long to finally come out, and whether it was legal maneuverings or whatever the scenario is, or, you know, if you want to believe the 5D chess of, well, we just wanted the Democrats to beg to release it. It's like, no, this should have been, you know, if there is a trial here locally for a criminal offense, it is public record. It is there for the world to see. Why are these high profile cases behind lock and key for the public to see unless there's some people involved that have a whole lot of pull and power?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting what the sort of the revelations that are coming out about old Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Never been a fan of that guy. In fact, I know quite a few people who were way back in the day in the Breitbart days when Andrew was still with us who had been kind of ringing the bell on this dude for a while. And people are like, oh, and so there's a bunch of stuff coming out about that. So
I think one of the funniest ones I've seen was in regards to Woody Allen, who has been linked to Epstein setting up White House meetings for Woody Allen. Ugh. And I saw somebody jokingly respond, you know, liberals are going to sit there and say, Woody Allen would never cheat on his daughter.
Okay. All right. We're going to change the subject. Cause I'm like, ew, I got just like icky, the ookities right there. The ookities. Before we take a break, I want to mention this. I got this email from our friends over at Marion County Republicans, and I love this email. So if you want to get on, go over to MarionCountyGOP.org, get on their mailing list. This is a great email. I forwarded it to you, Hunter. It's kind of like, how do you get your voice heard? The subject line is your voice in Oregon, take action now. So many people are so frustrated. How do I get heard? What do I do? So again, kudos to the leadership over at Marion County GOP for putting this together. They've got a link if you click through, learn how to testify. Individual participation and civic responsibility are the cornerstones of our constitutional republic. That's right. We're not a democracy. So this February, again, obviously, we know that we're in the short session. Nothing bad can happen then, right? So they're talking about your presence matters. There are 62,000 Republican voters in Marion County. Public testimony isn't just for lobbyists. It's for every citizen. So there's an action guide, 3 steps to impactful testimony, adding a subheading. They have a link to go to OLIS, which is your go-to that gives you links to testify. You can read the bills. You can read where they are in the process. Super valuable. Prepare, draft, submit. I've done it many times. Super easy. Half the time, it's one or two sentences. You don't have to write a book. Mm-hmm. You just don't have to write. Then they've got down here bills of concern, call to action. They list out some things meetings. They've got direct links to submit testimony on Senate Bill 1599 and Senate Bill 1598, which is referring to the referendum petition being moved, the gas tax, and then also health benefit stuff and immunization. So that's another one you want to talk to. So again, shout out to the Marion County Republicans for this. This is what I love to see. Because this is really taking that the party is in a unique position to educate their voters. Because we were talking, how many places did we see that a lot of people didn't even realize that there's a primary? You're yelling at people who jumped into the governor's race saying you're going to split the vote. No. That's what the primary's for.
Yeah, that's the design and the thought behind it. And the scariest part of that is not realizing that there's a primary vote in May.
Yeah.
When city council, the mayor of Salem, that will all be decided in that May election.
So critical. So critical. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. Then I have this. Welcome to Oregon's Color Revolution. I want to read this ex post because I have known this for a while. We've all talked about this. None of this is incompetence. So let's talk about that. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and your friendly neighborhood Bi-Mart.
All right. Remember, yesterday was Ammo Tuesday.
Ammo Day.
Actually, every day is Ammo Day. I mean, Ammo. Sorry.
Yeah, ooh, you said it too it loud. Out.
Okay, I do a lot of my show prep on X. And if you don't have an X account, you don't have to engage. Just get an X account. You're going to learn all kinds of stuff. One of the accounts I follow is PDX Moderate. This tweet came up today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to share this because we all know, we all feel it. Welcome to Oregon's Color Revolution. What is happening in Oregon is not accidental. It's not a run of bad luck nor a string of well-intentioned mistakes. Oregon's political leadership knows with precision that the state is deteriorating. They have the data. They have the reports. They hear it from businesses fleeing, families leaving, police resigning, classrooms emptying, and neighborhoods hollowing out. And they proceed anyway. This is no longer incompetence, and I want to interject here. It was never incompetence. Mm-hmm. Ever.
I'll give my, my take on the way our political landscape works later.
Yeah. So I just wanted to interject there. This is no longer incompetence. Incompetence does not censor constituents. It does not blacklist journalists. It does not use procedural tricks to insulate power from voters. It does not pack courts, manipulate ballot language, or treat public records laws as optional. Those are acts of intent. Oregon's leaders watched Measure 110 unravel public safety and addiction response and responded not with accountability, but with denial and narrative control. They watched Portland streets become open-air drug markets while law enforcement was politically handcuffed. They watched homelessness funding balloon into the billions while tents multiplied and outcomes vanished. The failure is not subtle. It's visible from every freeway on-ramp and sidewalk. When citizens demanded answers, they were told the problem was them, their expectations, their language, their refusal to understand. Dissent was reframed as cruelty. Journalism was labeled harmful. Public comment was managed, limited, or ignored. Courts were reshaped to ensure policy survived regardless of voter backlash. That's critical. Mm-hmm. Key. This is the hallmark of a color revolution mindset. Moral language deployed to dissolve accountability. Institutions no longer exist to serve the public, but to enforce consensus. Law becomes selective. Enforcement becomes political. Process becomes a shield against democratic correction. Oregon's ruling class speaks endlessly about equity while producing inequality so severe that only the wealthy and the subsidized can survive here. Middle class families leave. Small businesses collapse. Working people are priced out, policed ideologically, and taxed as a revenue source rather than treated as stakeholders. The most damning fact is that they know. Legislative fiscal offices, audit reports, migration data, crime statistics, none of this is hidden. The choice to ignore is deliberate. When outcomes worsen and power tightens, that is not failure. That is design. At some point, the word progressive becomes an alibi. A government that cannot tolerate scrutiny survives by silencing critics and refuses course correction when harm is undeniable. Has abandoned democratic governance. This is not compassion. This is not reform. This is not incompetence. This is Oregon's color revolution, quiet, bureaucratic, and enforced with a smile. I'm giving that a standing ovation.
Yeah.
That is spot on.
I read things like this and I go, you know, in my own words, and I said it for a long time. When I was young, I grew up during the Clinton years. And then, of course, you know, the second Bush and this and that. And you always figured when I was in that 18 to 25 range where feelings mattered a lot more than logic did at that point for every one of us. I always looked at government as these are the brightest and the smartest and most well-intentioned people in the world. And if things go sideways, it was an unseen consequence. Mm-hmm. But then I sit here and go, by the time Obama was elected, and especially the ACA was a great example, when I looked at it and I said, this is a train wreck waiting to happen. This is going to destroy everything good about our healthcare system.
Yep.
And it's all about becoming single parent. And I go, it's not. They are not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, hoping that things work out right. And if they go sideways, they're not really responsible. It's all intentional and designed to create reliability on government.
And to concentrate power in their pockets. And I love that he tagged Kotek, he tagged the Portland mayor, he tagged Peterson and Portland district attorney. And this is absolutely right. And again, this is a PDX moderate. And then it's not incompetence. And I've said that. And I always think people, I get so upset, not upset, but frustrated when I see people on social media. They're so stupid. This is so dumb. It's like soft on crime. They're not soft on crime. Mm-hmm. They're deliberately not prosecuting crime. And it all goes to what this guy laid out. And I don't know who is behind this account. I have no idea. But it all goes to this. It is all part of a plan. It is very deliberate. It's not incompetent. And the other key point I wanted to mention that he talked about here is, I don't know if you vote your way out of this because the institutions have been captured.
Yep. And that's the other part of it. And we see it in Oregon where our elected leaders, rather than take responsibility for things, create commissions and bureaucracies to shield themselves from responsibility. And of course, shield the people that are unelected and appointed to these positions. So there's no accountability left in government. Our court systems are as corrupt as can be. A great example, and right now circulating on social media, yesterday there was a student walkout in Issaquah, Washington, where a mother who happened upon this got assaulted by multiple students while the police were there watching and did nothing about it. And I sat here and said, the fact of the matter is the police are not going to hold these students responsible. The school is not going to hold teachers and students responsible for this behavior. So it comes down to, you know, hiring some internet sleuths to figure out who these kids are and then suing the crap out of their parents. And if, you know, I don't want to put people homeless, but the parents of these kids need to be on the verge of homelessness because of the responsibility. They failed, their teachers failed, and the school district failed, and the police failed in Issaquah, Washington to protect a citizen out and about when students should be in school.
Right. Right. And then again, when you look at all of this and all of it was designed, when you really look at it and you take out the words incompetence, you take out the words stupid, you take out the words that they're bumbling fools, because we know they're not. Mm-hmm. You can see the design. And again, dude, color revolution, Mao, read in the 60s. It's not like it's ancient history. All of this is by design and it's actually working. And so on the one hand, it's like people wake up and notice this and you can start pushing back against it. But again, and I commented on it too, it's like, I don't know how you vote your way out of this.
Yeah.
And it's not just Oregon. It's happening in California. It's happening in Washington. And it's happening in any blue state. And then I would also posit that within city governments in red states, you look at all the big cities. I don't think there is a blue or a red big city. All of the big cities, regardless of the state they're in, they are blue.
Well, they've taken over the big cities in just about every state, and they're starting to work their way into the purple cities in every state. The second tiers, the Salem, Oregons, the Boise, Idahos, the Bend, Oregons, they're taking over those because if you groundswell it at that point, you take those over, there's less and less pushback because now the people that disagree with it are leaving those cities themselves. So it is a full-on takeover under the guise of love and compassion, when in reality, what you literally see is, you know, we don't want ICE in our communities, but we're going to have our own checkpoint and ID checkpoints. I sit here and go, you know, what's the big news right now? The SAVE Act at the federal level, which may be the only saving grace if we can demand, you know, voter IDs, and we can demand that states clean up their voter rolls and get rid of people who shouldn't be voting. That's the only way you're going to be able to vote yourself out of this, because the system right now is so watered down and so corrupt that there is no overcoming it.
Right. And so, again, vote by mail was established in 1987, and Democrats, surprise, surprise, have been in control of Oregon since 1988. And so, you know, the Democrats, there's no impetus. There's no mandate. They're not going to get rid of vote by mail. It suits them. And frankly, a lot on the other side, it's very convenient. Mm-hmm. People like convenience. So I know there's an effort right now to get rid of vote by mail. I don't necessarily see that really happening. Is there? I think there's an effort end VBM. I don't know. Something out there.
At the state level, it will not happen. And I need to say that because whether it's Democrats or Republicans, it's too convenient. At the federal level is the only place it can happen. But even if that occurs right now, there's going to be so much legal pushback on it that I don't see it going away, at least for the next couple of election cycles before it winds its way to the Supreme Court. And they can determine if the federal government can have a say in state election.
Yeah. And so, right. And we've talked about, you know, Republican voter apathy for a long time. And so I was glad to see, again, Marion County GOP with a really, really helpful email with a lot of ways how you can make your voice heard. And, you know, a lot of people are frustrated when they look at, you know, oppose the stacks of paper when you do a very graphic display of it, oppose. And it seems like it none of it matters. We just look at, you know, driver's cards for illegal aliens when the voters said a resounding no and the legislature went, "Nah, we don't care what you said. We're going to do it anyway." Mm-hmm. And now where we are, can you register to vote with one of those driver's cards? I bet you can.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I just sit here and we see it constantly. I mean, you can look at every level of government, whether it's, you know, school board, city council, state, the short session in the state. These people have gone and they already know what they're going to vote. So that feeling of if I get in front of you and I say my piece, it's not going to have any resounding impact because they'll straight tell you I've already decided. And I
that happened on the Salem City Council. Mm-hmm. Remember, what's her face from Ward 1?
That's right. And that shouldn't be happening. You know, they should be listening to their constituents. So that's why your voices need to get louder.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news and come back and talk to Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Got to mention again, GA at Home, one of our great, they're presented by... sponsor for our food drive. Again, we are halfway through the month almost on the fifth annual KYKN food and clothing drive.
I know. It's 5 years we've been doing this, and I think it still wakes everybody up. Even Warren wasn't sure, you know, when he was out at Advantage earlier this week, how many years we'd been doing this. But, God, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. And this, again, is a benefit for Bebold Street Ministries, the wonderful team over there, Matt Massera and the guys and gals who do wonderful outreach work. Okay, we're going to jump right in. Welcoming to the show again for her monthly visit, Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Madam Mayor, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well. I'm not liking the fact that we found a tick, and it's February, and that should not happen because it's too warm. Can the council do anything about this weird weather?
Absolutely. Let me put that on the next agenda.
Put that on the agenda? Okay, thanks. Thanks.
I move.
First item.
It'll be very popular.
I move that we bring winter in.
Stop global warming.
I know. Okay, well, there's been a lot of... Salem has been making a lot of news, and I wanted to jump right in because I wanted to ask you about this. Salem Business Journal, again, shout out to Salem Business Journal for doing really fair journalism, and it's not behind a paywall, so I appreciate that, but they really kind of dig in depth. Headline on this one was Salem City Council voted 7-2 to spend $200,000 on a new social pilot program to help families affected by ICE. So I see the 7-2 vote. My understanding is that Councilors Matthews and Gwynn were a no vote on that.
Correct.
So that means you were a yes vote. Can you talk to us a little bit about your rationale for that vote?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
This issue came up at the budget committee meeting, in my opinion, inappropriately. $400,000 demand brought to council, then with knowing full well that our budget cannot support or maintain a social service fund of any kind right now, let alone $400,000, which over time is really more like a couple of million bucks. You know, it's no small deal.
Right.
And so the city manager took that on very seriously with the direction of council and the budget committee of past, that we are not going to move forward and do things that we cannot sustain.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take on projects that we can't afford to continue. So that's the way they approached it, with way more knowledge than I have about how everything, how budgets work and all that stuff. The city manager was able to find $200,000 from two sources. One was the MRG fund for the airport, $100,000 that's not being mm-hmm. used currently.
Mm-hmm.
The other was to hold up filling a position in the city manager's office to the tune of $100,000. So that's where okay. this $200,000 came from. Also appealing to me, so it's not coming out of any
general any fund other place, or any kind right. of another pot. Okay.
Yeah, it's a trade-off, right?
Okay.
Then the fact that it was going to be shared amongst four nonprofits, not, you know, in their mind, I don't know what they thought would happen, but the city doesn't have the staff to create a distribution center for a social service fund, which mm-hmm. would require, you know, staff time and application processes and all that. So the decision was made to recommend sending $50,000 to four different nonprofits and let them handle the applications and the distribution of the funding. So Mano a Mano, Marion Polk Food Share, Immigration Rights Oregon, and the Salem Housing Authority were the four okay. nonprofits. So when it all came down, I recognized the fact that this situation in our community is causing a great deal of duress and disorientation for folks. And it's just incredibly unsettling. We gave, I think it was $20,000 to Marion Polk Food Share when the SNAP fund was in jeopardy and everybody mm-hmm. was like losing their minds and having terrible feelings of insecurity. So it felt like we're doing something to me. And I felt last at the meeting that the city manager had done everything in her power to keep this from impacting the general fund, mm-hmm. had come up with what to me seemed like a reasonable plan for distribution of this funding and to make it happen sooner than later if they had to create a department to do this. It would have taken months.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because I mean, like, I don't know how this works. First of all, I mean, I think there's a lot of people in Salem that disagree that this happened, that mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that are opposed to this for a number of valid reasons. So it's now you've got four nonprofits that are doing this. I'm like, I don't even know, how does this even work? I mean, how do you determine that?
It's also the other appealing piece to this for me was that it's not limited to those impacted by immigration issues. It's anyone can apply for this money for any need from any one of these four entities. So it's not limited to those suffering from immigration issues in our community.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know there was a packed house there. And again, I'm assuming that the folks that were proponents of this, and the word demand, it's always makes me bristle.
Oh, it absolutely turns me off.
I'm like, really? You're demanding this?
Yeah.
So it looked like the demanding folks were more. Were there anybody in opposition that spoke? I did not watch this meeting.
In opposition directly to the money, I don't recall that anyone testified against it. There are, and to further explain myself,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the city should be in the business of social services, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are incredibly extenuating circumstances. We've never been here before. And the unrest is palpable in my own neighborhood, in the community, and is there something we can do? And I felt like it was a reasonable compromise brought about by the city manager and staff. So it, to me, and you know what? I'm a person of hope at the end of the mm-hmm. day, always. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we are in a better place in the next 5-6 months. That's the length of this program. It's a pilot. It's not forever. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's one time. It has an end date.
Okay. And I feel really good about that. And we will be able to re-examine things at that point. And we will have, hopefully, we will have data to either support or not anything further. And my hope is not. My hope is we'll be in a better place in 6 months' time.
So, you know, you talk about the feeling in the community and things like that, sort of to pull back a little bit on the view on this. A lot of that, I think, and I, again, I look at social media, I see a lot of that, and I fully stipulate to the fact that social media is not real life. But you also, Oregon is a sanctuary state, so mm-hmm. there are policies set at that state level mm-hmm. that do affect how the city of Salem and every other city and county in this state does business. Mm-hmm. Does that also, that has to factor in on frustration, what you can and cannot do, how you can respond to the citizenry?
Absolutely. It's very frustrating, mostly because most of the community doesn't understand really fully what our limitations are.
Yeah.
You know, they expect things of law enforcement that law enforcement can't do. Mm-hmm. We cannot intervene. We also can't help in the enforcement mm-hmm. process. In 5-6 months' time, maybe we will be in a better place and some of these issues will be resolved. Mm-hmm. Tell you mm-hmm. what drives me crazy is when I hear litigation. I'm like, great, another lawsuit. You know, this is going to drag out the big picture even longer. It's like, what does litigation do? It throws a what? I mean, is it a wrench? Is it a stop?
It's a slow.
Yeah.
Hey, the lawyers make out okay.
Yeah, and it's not making it go away. It's not fixing anything. And I deep down, we need immigration reform in this country, period. And we need a way to help people who are contributing members of society in a good way to become documented so that we don't have all these mysteries running around and people feeling vulnerable when they really shouldn't have to.
Well, that I appreciate you kind of shedding some light on where your thought process. We've got, what is it? Well, let's dig into this one real quick because this sort of dovetails with it again. And there was that letter that went out that the governor's office sent out, and I think there was a lot of assumption that you chose not to sign it, and it turns out you never got it.
Right, that's the truth. And I spent a good deal of time trying to make sure that I didn't miss something.
Mm-hmm.
And spoke to other mayors who had signed it and mm-hmm. Kind of got down to the source of like where that started, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think it was probably out of a press conference in Eugene, and one thing led to another. And next thing you know, a letter pops out to only a certain handful of mayors, and they signed on. I only heard about the letter first through backlash. Like that was my introduction to the letter was hate mail about me not signing it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was like, I was out of the country and I was like, but I was still checking my email and dealing with other issues. And I was like, what's going on? What letter? You know, what happened? So I get back to the city on like Thursday and I'm like, hey, did you guys get a letter? I don't see a letter. City didn't get a letter. City manager, city attorney. No knowledge of said letter. And it took until I was still kind of doubting myself and knowing that, you know, certain things have been going on. This mm-hmm. has been weaponized against me in a campaign way. And come Sunday night, I received a little communication from the governor's office that, that confirmed that letter had never been sent to me or to the city of Salem.
I looked at the list, and again, I've worked with, and I've, you know, come clean with this, worked with a lot of cities over the time. I did a lot of small cities meetings, so I know there's 241 cities in.
Yes, ma'am.
After Damascus disincorporated, we went down to 241. There were 31 who signed on. When I looked at that list, I thought it was very interesting to see the cities that were on this list. One of them surprised me, and I did not see Salem or Kaiser on it, and so I had questions, too. My assumption was that you chose not to sign it. And then I saw you put a video out, and again, you know, social media is not the real world. There were mixed reviews on whether or not that that you should have put that video up, made a statement or another. Again, this is kind of a damned if you do, damned if
Absolutely.
You don't kind of a thing. You're kind of in between a rock and a hard spot on
yep.
this one.
Yeah. And I mostly, if you see me on social media saying something, unless AI mm-hmm. has been like brought in, it's going to be the truth. Because
yeah.
I'm not, I don't mess around like that.
No.
And this yeah. was really, because it had been weaponized against me, I felt the need to say something and to speak the truth. And the truth was that I did not refuse to sign that letter. It did not come to me. And it didn't come to the city either. Had it come, I would have brought it to the attention of full council, not because I have to, but because that's how I lead in this group. I would want to come to a consensus and be able to move forward accordingly. And that turnaround time on that letter apparently was like 24 hours. And they
yeah.
brought it to mayors who wouldn't have to go to their councils for consideration.
Hmm. To me, yeah, I think it should have been something that the entire council, I think one of the other cities that didn't end up doing that, where the mayor kind of took it upon himself to sign it, it didn't go well. And there was
oh,
some
really?
Pushback.
I hadn't yeah, heard about so, that. Where was that?
Yeah,
do you know?
So, I'll dig it up. Okay. Well, that's good. I wanted to give you a chance to address both those issues. We're going to take a break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit about one of the candidates for Ward 2, Mr. Manny Martinez, again, did a ride-along with HST that was so interesting. And I wanted to chat with you about that because, he's kind of calling out some issues that a lot of people in Salem think are really important issues and mm-hmm. hoping that they get more attention on that. So, again, we are chatting with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Pearland Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
Cozy's New York Deli. The gabagool. You don't watch their reels if you're hungry. They made some sandwich today that I watched before the show, and I should never have done that. Never have done that.
So that's what that
delicious.
Extra noise was, huh?
It had like three kinds of meat and provolone cheese and mustard, and oh my gosh. All right, anyway. All right, we are wrapping up our conversation today with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. So I mentioned Mr. Martinez, who does a lot of stuff. He's very much an advocate for homeless. He went on a ride along with the homeless services team, which my understanding is that anybody can do that if they request it. It's like a ride along with the police. If you request it, you can do that.
Yeah.
I know you've done it.
I've done it a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. And I appreciate them and have for a good deal of time now. The work that they do is so important in building relationship with the
yeah.
houseless population and trying to get people to the services they need.
Well, he mentioned too that he said the officers have the perfect balance of compassion and firmness, and
yeah.
so they went into Wallace Marine, which is my understanding it is the worst of the worst in the state,
mm-hmm.
and so they kind of were on the outskirts and they worked their way in. So the frustration that I think I see in this and his narrative here, and I share it because I do watch the meetings as well. So much time is spent on issues that are outside of the scope
Absolutely.
Of the council, yet this is in the middle. This is 1 mile from the Capitol.
Yep.
This is one of the most beautiful parks. I spent so much time. We all have in Wallace.
Mm.
And now it is, you cannot go in there. You've got people in there that are in absolute dire straits that are probably dying there. The filth is unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the question that a lot of people have is, and he's making the call, this should be front and center at every single city council meeting.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
I agree. Yeah. The priorities should be obvious, especially when there
is. I think
they
are to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other issues, honestly, which are out of our lane,
mm-hmm.
Cause such distraction and such. And I mean no disrespect. I don't deny the fact that people
yeah,
are struggling or having a
mm-hmm.
hard time or living in fear. I don't deny that. That's a real thing. But how much can we do about it?
Right.
And
not a lot.
Not a lot. We did a tiny bit of what we could do the other night with the little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
But we spent 2 hours on public testimony
mm-hmm.
on that topic.
And that was after two previous meetings that were dealing with it, that the meetings were monopolized by that.
Yes.
And I think what he's saying, so now let's talk about, let's shift over here. You know, people are rightfully calling it a homelessness emergency in Salem. Mm-hmm. What can the city do about this?
Yeah.
Between cleanup and enforcement, camping, all that, what can the city do? This is within the city's purview.
Absolutely. And progress is being made. You know,
I know there was a big cleanup part of it.
Well, big cleanup. And I called for greater communication with ODOT to find out what they were going to do about their properties on a more consistent basis, and how this, I mean, their properties are our gateways to Salem.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the underpass on I-5, we all remember. I mean, I think there were chickens in there.
Yeah.
So it was pretty well settled.
Right. And so what can we do? I know we are making progress, and
okay.
You know, I hope Manny gets elected, because I think the energy that he would bring to the space and the direction and the, I don't know, sort of demand for focus, I think would be really cool, and we'd see how much that would work. I think that would
you'd see a different focus and a shift in focus on that, and you know. Yeah, when you've got certain counselors, I think he mentioned that his opponent voted against, was it a $180,000 gift?
Yes. Yeah, it's like...
Which would have gotten two more officers on
it
that.
It did.
HSCT.
Okay. It did.
So
that's happened.
It passed.
So just not that long ago, we started two more HST officers, which makes the HST team 7 days a week instead of four.
Excellent.
That's super, because the consistency in showing up, when people have those 2 or 3 days without any accountabilities or contact, it just all goes off the rails again. And then the Monday guys come back and try to put it all together. So 7 days a week now for that, and 7 days a week now for our sanitation team. I think they're calling them CST now. So that makes a big difference. Greater communication with ODOT is helping in the works with making things better. And so I don't want it to sound as though nothing is happening. We are making progress.
Yes, and I knew about the cleanup, and I knew that was going on. And I think that from what I'm hearing from people on the ground, people who do comment, is that the focus needs to be there on that. And I, you know, we talk about scope creep a lot. And when you've got, you know, city council has a lane, there's things, you know, not real glamorous. Yeah. A lot of it.
Right.
It's pretty mundane.
Yeah.
But it's stuff that matters in everybody's everyday lives.
Well, and a reminder, I am so grateful to have received this Bloomberg-Harvard collaboration track. So we are working on a kind of a higher level, make a plan, what's going to work for the city of Salem, and a group of 30 and then a group of 7 who will actually travel to be a part of discussions and plan making and developing a blueprint for downtown that we can apply to every area of Salem to deal with these public safety issues. I'm just excited about that. I don't talk about that enough, frankly. Yeah.
Well, we've got 1 minute left with you, Madam Mayor. So real quick, I mean, anything you're looking forward to coming up? Anything that should be on anybody's radar?
Well, one thing I'd like to say is that $180,000 for the HST team, it just really chaps my hide that became a big deal.
Yeah.
When, you know, Center 50 Plus got $9 million over the next 3 years, not a question.
Yeah.
But you try to add 2 homeless service team officers to the tune of $180,000 for 6 months, and it's going to be reviewed to see if it's worth doing again. Mm-hmm. I can't believe people made a big deal about that dollar amount.
People that prefer that homeless outreach to actually police intervention. That's the irony.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. As always, we appreciate having you on. I know it's a tough job, so we appreciate you, Madam Mayor. Thanks for taking the time.
You bet.
That is it for us today. Go out and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.